Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you've got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I, of course, would love to hear from you, so you can call in at 347-826-7435. That is the call-in number. You can call in live, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Like to welcome you to the Black Heel, nope. I'm messing up. See, this is what happens when you go live. You mess up. This, we want to welcome you to the Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos show. And if you want a social network, talk about why I named it that. If you go on Facebook, we have the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. J will add you to the Smooth Drama group on Facebook. Or anywhere you find Smooth Drama, hit me and I'll hit you back and we can talk a taste on it. I'm open to talk. Questions, comments, concerns, you can jump in on the email tip, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And if you're listening live, I got the chat room open. You want to jump in the chat room, you got something constructive to say. I got you. And as always, I say to the callers, please have something real good to say. Don't just call with that foolishness, because I'm going to clown you. I will clown you. Believe that. But if you got something good to say, we can talk. I'm good. I'm open. But it better make sense. Well, I'm coming for you. Well, I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyway. Let me just get it started. The Black Moon is coming tomorrow, the 31st of July. The Black Moon is something that is it's a rare occurrence. It happens normally in the leap year. Every 32 months, they say, you're going to get two full moons, or as they call them, two new moons. So basically, two full moons in 1 month. So July 31st, tomorrow, will be that second new moon in the month. So tomorrow should be crazy. Crazy, because it's the Black Moon. You know, if it's black, it's got to be crazy. It's got to be like, oh my God, it's the Black Moon. What are we going to do? Nothing. Normally nothing happens. It's just a clear sky. You can see all the stars. And the moon is actually bigger because it's closer to the Earth. So, if you're out there scared, white people, you hear, oh, it's a black moon. Or you're one of those black people who are scared of anything that starts with black. Don't worry. It's just a full moon. You know, you might get an extra goosebump tomorrow. That's about it. Nothing else. But speaking of new moons and new black things, the new 007 is a black woman. But before we start talking about shooting people, blowing up studio and all this other stuff. The new 007 is not a James Bond movie. Even though James Bond will be in it, Daniel Craig is going to be in it. He's just retiring. And so they call in the new 007, and that's where Lashana Lynch comes and walks in, and she takes over. So she's not the new James Bond. She is 007. I know. You still have the sanctity of your James Bond. So please, please don't kill anybody. And Idris Elba he's already opted out, because, you know, he was like all the folks acting crazy. talking about his travesty. That and that he's gonna be James Bond, because black man can't be James Bond. No. Yeah. Okay. I can't even remember the last James Bond movie I watched, but all right. Anyway, so what happens is, one of the producers, she said, look, Bond is male. He's a male character. He was written as a male, and I think he'll probably stay as a male. 007 is a female character. And so she is going to things that happen to a female. So you get the best of both worlds. You're gonna get the white James Bond in the movie. He's gonna be in the movie. 007's gonna be a black woman. And you get to hold on to your James Bond. And when they make that movie that nobody's going to watch, that's the new James Bond with some new white dude. Hey. You'll have that. But please, spread the word. Lashana Lynch is the new 007. So you can, if you want to, ignore the 007 movie and wait for the movie with the white dude, James Bond, if you're so inclined. I mean, you'll probably be the only ones in that theater anyway. I'm not hating on James Bond. I'm just saying, people really still checking for James Bond. I mean, I don't know. I've seen quite a few movies over in Britain that, gosh, I'm trying to think. I can't remember the name of the movie now, but where they were the spies, and they were over here in the United States. It was the organization. Anyway, I'll remember it as soon as I'm off the air. It's not really that important, but it was better than any James Bond movie I've seen in a long time. Anyway, Lashana Lynch, congratulations. You're the new 007. You're the new focus of hatred from white people all over the globe. Relish in it. Bask in the ambiance of the hate of playing a fictitious character that people are going to hate just because you just happen to be darker than them. That's not a real congratulations, but I'm just saying it's what it is. Speaking of congratulations, I guess we can congratulate President, he's out there in these streets, trying to save ASAP Rocky. trial of the century going on in Stockholm. Y'all hating on Donald Trump? I mean, he trying to free the black man. You know, ASAP Rocky. Savior of the black people. Tireless civil rights activist. ASAP Rocky. That dude that's out here in these streets. All right. Not really. But he went on trial today. And Donald Trump sent Robert C. O'Brien as the American envoy. So basically, he's on vacation, you know, to just watch that. I mean, it's one of the greatest political moves ever. Donald Trump, you know, everybody's like, black people disapprove of Donald Trump at record highs. But he's out here trying to help ASAP Rocky, civil rights leader, conscious rapper. I'm playing. For those of you who may not understand my facetiousness and why I'm talking about this, ASAP Rocky, I mean, we talked about it, but I had to dig up his actual words so that you can understand if you are showing him some love, free ASAP Rocky, all that other stuff that a lot of y'all are doing. Let me give you ASAP Rocky's words. So every time something happens because I'm black, I gotta stand up. What the fuck am I? Al Sharpton now? I'm ASAP Rocky. I did not sign up to be no political activist. I don't want to talk about no fucking Ferguson and shit because I don't live over there. I live in fucking Soho and Beverly Hills. I can't relate. I'm in the studio. I'm in these fashion studios. I'm in these bitches' drawers. I'm not doing anything outside of that. That's my life. Unquote. ASAP Rocky. His words. Not mine. His words. So, just in case you didn't know who you was rooting for over there, if you're one of them people, oh, this free ASAP Rocky. Just know that if you're black, he said he ain't no political activist. He don't want to talk about none of that shit. He in these bitches' drawers. That's where he's at. I wonder if they have drawers in the prison that he's in. I'm guessing he's not in no bitches' drawers over there in the prison. And like we said before, I'm guessing he realizes that he's black now. And that, yeah, you're going to get treated differently. They don't care if you're living in Soho and in Beverly Hills. It's not really all that important in Stockholm. But, hey, Kanye West and the Kardashian chick, they reached out to Trump. And, you know, Trump take care of his coons. So, it's that divide line, right? Trump take care of the coon. So if you a coon, he'll send, and you get caught up in some international stuff, he'll send, you know, he'll take care of the coons. You see, Kanye West, his, you know, one of his, the head of his coon cabal, say, hey, you know, one of my coon peoples is messed up, boss. Can they get some freedom? He's like, you know what? I got you, dog. I got you. And he sent over the envoy. So there's a white dude watching the trial. He ain't actually doing nothing. Don't really. He can't negotiate anything. He's just sitting in there to make sure that ASAP Rocky gets a fair trial in Stockholm. Isn't that nice? Isn't that spectacular? I'm like, woo, viva Donald Trump. Hooking the coons up. AKA Super Negro. My designation. All right. On that note, probably gonna need to go on a break here. This is Ice Cube. When will they shoot?
Yo. Keep a 9mm in my cheek. When I roll, I got the world deep. Ain't going out cheap. Make the man flip on favorite hill, get the so deep. They'll never beat me, they'll never hit me. Motherfucker, that shit take deep. Now I'm a rock. Grab the same eye boot so I can match. Sitting by the window cause it's so fucking hot. And then I heard a shot. Boom.
Together you got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Ice Cube. When will they shoot? 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, there are some people. Y'all happy? The NFL is coming back. I myself, kind of gave that up a couple years ago, cause, I gave it up. They don't think black folks is important, and Kaepernick can't get a job. I ain't watching, If all these scrubs can get a job, he can't even get a camp tryout. Yeah, I'm good. And I know my eyes and anything that would have had anything to do with me as far as ratings at the NFL, as far as the NFL goes, mean nothing. But it means something to me. So, yeah, I still ain't watching. And I got a few homies. We still ain't watching. So, yeah. You scratch us off the list. Anyway, in the meantime, in between time, the NFL Players Association had to file a grievance over the new policy that forbids kneeling during playing of the national anthem. Yeah. because Kaepernick was like, yep. These NFL owners are following that MAGA, Make America Great Again mantra. Now, they filed a whatchamacallit. They filed their little grievance, but I'm like, maybe we just gonna stop calling the NFL the National Football League and say it'll be called the NBA too. Only we call them the No Balls Association. Because at least in the NBA, it would have been in the collective bargaining agreement. We gonna negotiate this, right? Because like the NFL owners, they're like on a whole other level when it comes to y'all gonna do what I say and how I say, and if you try to do something else, your ass is grass. I mean, the NFL has the worst union of all the sports unions. They're the most popular sport in the United States. The league makes the most money out of all the leagues in the United States. But they're the only ones with no guaranteed contracts. So, yeah, you can see these record amounts that are put out there. Hey, we made such and such, such and such, such and such. But guess what? You get cut tomorrow, you don't see a nickel of that money. NFL. That league that I'm not watching, that I refuse to watch, It's not going to happen. But, hey, good luck with that. good luck with that. Oh, and speaking of good luck, Christopher Darden is, you know, since we're talking about, so Christopher Darden is, he's quitting as Eric Holder's attorney. For those few people who don't know, or maybe you wasn't really paying attention, Eric Holder is facing a murder charge for, as they say, even though it's on camera, allegedly gunning down Nipsey Hussle. Right? Allegedly gunning down Nipsey Hussle. Even though it's on camera. It's on video. He just walks up. I mean, he does it twice, but I mean, point is, it's alleged. Though it's on video, because obviously they could have doctored that video. Somebody somewhere could have doctored that video, trying to frame Eric Holder. That's the quote unquote premise. That's all he would have, right? As far as a defense. And so, if people don't remember, Christopher Darden is the guy that was trying to prosecute OJ. So, even though OJ was a sellout Negro, and most black folks didn't care nothing for OJ, most black folks loved OJ, obviously, because he got off. He's the first dude in history of United States history to get off for killing white people and living to tell the tale. Anyway, Christopher Darden, it didn't go well for him. And so he had disappeared off the set, hadn't been on the set for a while till this case. And so what does he do? He takes on the case of the dude that killed the dude that everybody loved. Everybody loved Nipsey Hussle. I'm going to defend this sellout Negro that killed the guy that y'all love. And he received death threats, unsurprisingly. But he did post something on Facebook for those people who, and let me just quote him. To those who issued those threats to my children, please pay close attention so there is no misunderstanding later. Fuck you. He goes on to say, I've been receiving vile comments and messages since news broke that my father, this is Darden's daughter, since my father, Chris Darden, is the defense attorney for the man accused of killing Nipsey Hussle. Like many of you, I found out my father's involvement in the case while scrolling through social media. I was not surprised for this backlash that has triggered bad memories from the O.J. Simpson trial. My father is a grown man and has been a defense attorney for some time. I have no say in the cases he takes on. Meaning, she probably wasn't happy to see that her daddy took that case. I'm guessing she probably was like, you know what? Dad, you probably shouldn't take this case. But of course he did. And, of course, death threats come. Now, I ain't condoning death threats, especially when you threatening the man's kids. You know, yes, he's a sellout Negro. He's a coon, right? Chris the Dog's a coon. He's an old school coon. You know, he's out here in these streets with his extra tight coon suit on. As a matter of fact, that just gives me an idea. I think I'm gonna design a coon suit, but I'm getting off point. The League of Coons, that could most surely be. Oh, I'm getting off track. Anyway, Christopher Darden is a coon, right? We know he's a coon, super Negro, all that. But I mean, threatening his kids, whatnot. That's taking it a bit far. You know, threaten him, call him the coon that he is, and all that. But threatening the man's kids and stuff, that, like daughter said, I ain't got nothing to do with any of that. And yes, I saw it on social media, like y'all. You can't blame the kids for what the parents do. Your parents can be trifling. That don't mean that you're gonna be trifling. Cause I don't think anybody wants to be judged by the actions of somebody else, whether it be parents, siblings, you know, or loved ones, or ex-loved ones, you know, that guilty by association. Nobody wants that. And so, please, y'all, don't do it. Don't go messing with folks. You know, because that ain't cool at all. But while we're talking about coons, might as well go for the triple jump, Ben Carson. Oh, Ben Carson, I don't know. How that Jim Ben Carson just shines brighter. I mean, he came in, I think he came in third or fourth last year in our Coon of the Year contest. But this year, I'm thinking that he's cleared number one right now. But, you know, for all of you, all the listeners, whatnot, I am going to put out a survey in December. I'm just getting you ready now where you get to vote on Coon of the Year. It's going to be that first year. I'm just going to open it up, and we just going to go off the votes of the people. I mean, I did a post last year. This year, I'm gonna leave it up to y'all, the listener. Who's gonna be Coon of the Year? Anyway, Ben Carson making the case for Coon of the Year early. He was talking about on Donald Trump's go back tweets. He's not racist at all. He was on I guess one of them shows, Sunday Morning Futures. He goes on to say he's not racist at all. He lived in New York. Jesse Jackson gave him an award for the incredible things that he's done in the African-American community. I have never seen anything that even resembles racism. And so, I mean, I don't know what award Jesse Jackson is giving out, because I think it's well documented that Jesse Jackson is super coon. He's been cooning since the 60s. Hell, it was written and it's a known fact that Martin Luther King was going to kick him off the campaign trail. They did not trust Jesse Jackson, and
whenever there was something happening, they never let him be around when they were really talking real business. And it's no coincidence that this super coon was actually the only person to leave out when Martin Luther King was killed, and he's on TV with the blood on his shirt. I've talked about it. That's the dude that's giving Trump praise because he donated some office space to his Rainbow Push Coalition, which is, you know, super coon taking money from poor people to quote unquote help poor people. Ben Carson, that guy, awesome, awesome brain surgeon. Yeah, too bad he can't do surgery on his own brain. All right. Speaking of surgery on your own brain. So they had that Democratic debate tonight. You know, I always am amazed when you see the little blurbs. Hey, who are the winners and who are the losers? It's like, I thought that regular people are the ones who would say who won, who lost, not the media. But, you know, of course, the media will talk about the talking points. And all that's cool. But, you know, I was focused on one person. So, If you didn't know, you haven't heard me. Past few months, I've done an evolution. I'm just gonna run it down every time. The first guy that I was gonna vote for was Wayne Messam, dark skinned black man, Florida, wanted to forgive student loans. He had my vote. When he said, I'm going to forgive student loans, I didn't care about his plan. Who was going to have to pay for it? None of that shit. I don't care. Get rid of student loans. I'll take some taxes. You know, I'm a thousandaire. I'm going to get taxes anyway. But I would have, you know, I took it. But, of course, Wayne Messam kind of falling off the radar. Yeah, I was like Cory Booker. You know, he introduced the Senate bill on slavery reparations, just talking about it. It was like, okay, I know it's politics, it's grandstanding, but at least he wanted to talk about it. So I was riding with Cory Booker. Then Elizabeth Warren, she hopped out, had her big girl panties on, and said, you know, give you like 50 grand toward student loans. Then Bernie took it to the next level. Bernie was like, man, check it out, dog. Get rid of all of it. No student loans at all. Everybody off. I was like, I'm rolling with Bernie. Then I saw, yeah, I mean, you know, the first time around, he had Killer Mike on his side. Then this time, I saw that little article. He had Cardi B, but, you know, it's looking like she's going to be part of his campaign team, whatnot. But I'm just saying, I haven't heard anything about student loans being forgiven. That's the only issue I care about. I mean, the rest of that stuff I know is, oh, the black people, da 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 da. Look, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I have an agenda here, people. And I want you to follow my vision here. I'm going to say it. Maybe y'all understand it. Maybe you won't. But if we push this student loan stuff out there and it gets really, really popular, I believe Donald Trump would steal it and forgive student loans for everybody. Just to prove a point. I'm just saying, let's just put that out there. Putting it out into the ethos. Student loans is the number one issue. All that other stuff, yeah, it's not going to happen anyway because they don't care about us enough. But if you could make student loans, because once again, it's something that white people can benefit from too. We can just attach ourselves to that now. Get all my student loans. Yes, I'm one-dimensional. I'm very one-dimensional. I only care about me and my issues when it comes to presidential elections, whatnot. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm petty like that. And I guess, since I'm being petty like that, I probably should go on break instead of pushing my political agenda so I can clear up my credit once and for all. Anyway, he comes from my balls collection, Clay Creation, 831-17.
I'll be real, I was taking some meetings with some suspicious figures. I lost myself trying to focus on my ad-libs more than my lyrics, man. I was trying to be these other niggas. I'm a product of a tribe called Quest, a guy named West, KRS, Rakim, Pac, MJ, Nas, Pun, and Botep. I'm a prodigy, R.I.P. All you other niggas, Frazier, I'm Ali. They want me writing some sad shit because it's trying times. They don't diss me in real life, so they try and rhyme. Please don't try and rhyme. I could kill a couple rappers with some slick lines. Walk amongst the dead like Rick Grimes, I'm feeling fine. Baby, I ain't mad, I'm just quiet. The label tried to eat off me, I put them on a diet. I'm back to myself, I'm watching my mental health. I don't post it on the gram, man, I operate in stealth. They fishing for attention and I never take the bait. Real cheese moving silence, my initials F and H. Write the alphabet and you'll probably get it. Stop trying to walk inside my shoes, you'll never fit it. Real shit been happening and I can't even deal. Taking a break from the punchlines and the brag rounds just to tell you what's real. My mama in the hospital and she's laid up and we wondering why. We haven't even spoke much. When we do talk, we don't see eye to eye. I made all these promises that I do better and I don't even try. Just because we ain't all good, man, I don't mean that I wanted to die. Frequent trips up to L.A., negotiate with some fuck niggas. A lot of niggas are switched. They ask why I don't trust niggas.
Didn't get them either. She my first kiss. That was back when I was wearing all this K-Swiss. And and everybody was like, till it's live when you see a slide. Then in high school, man, they all became blood. Evie held my hand in gym class and was fake love. That's the day I learned what relationships made of. See, after Christmas, everybody had gotten a new fit. Three niggas came to school wore exactly the same shit. Jamaican color dunks with a matching hoodie. Back when I was square and a lame and a goody-goody. Mama had bought me the new Vans, the checkered ones. Evie was wearing a Vans too, the leopard ones. And she was giving me new attention that she never showed. And I was like, damn, all of this for some new clothes. But that's how the game goes. Of course, I ain't wear the same fit the next day. She went the next way. But it's cool. I hope she's doing well. She was young, I was young. I had to tell the tale. Every single thing in your youth, it makes you. Everything that ever broke your heart, man, it shapes you. All these memories and these thoughts won't escape you. But you can't stay there, my nigga. You gotta scrape through. I see myself getting jaded as I grow in age. And with every birthday, I'm growing more afraid. Who wanna be a rapper at 30 and shit? Already lame as hell, then I'm nerdy and shit. But if this don't work out, I'm just glad that you niggas listen. I would die for my vision, this my decision. I had to get this shit out, no seriously. Man, I had to figure this out, no seriously. I was in the alley almost dead, no seriously. I almost forgot that I was Fred, no seriously. Nigga, I would give it all up, no seriously. Man, I feel the world ain't enough, no seriously. This is probably the last one, no seriously. I don't think these people out here are hearing.
Check, 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 check,
together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Clay Creation, 831-17-347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right, so I'm going to talk about titties and lack of titties. What am I talking about? I'm actually talking about a weightlifter, Laurel Hubbard, a gold medal winning performance at the Pacific Games. What's the big deal about it? What that got to do with titties or lack of titties? Laurel Hubbard is a transgender weightlifter. And so Hubbard, who used to compete for New Zealand in men's weightlifting before her transition in her 30s, she won two golds and a silver in three of the women's heavyweight categories at the games and some more earlier this month. And so, you know, transgender at the top of the podium, 41-year-old, and make folks happy. Because they're like, you know, there's guidelines for the inclusion of transgender athletes. And there's a New Zealand-based lobby group, Speak Up for Women, who are advocating that the sport must be categorized by sex rather than gender identity. And is calling on the Olympic Committee and sportsmen to defend women's sport. Now, for me, it would be a real cut and dry thing. This is someone who competed as a male in weightlifting before transitioning, meaning I couldn't compete with the men no more. So I'm going to switch over and identify as a woman and compete and win there. I know there's folks who are like, no, that's not it. They're living their truth. I mean, if you're living your truth, then you stop competing. See, it's one thing to live your truth and you're just an ordinary person. But when you're living your truth and it's in athletics, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame, right? I mean, they were a professional male weightlifter, competed competitively. Now, if you retire and you transition and, hey, I'm whatever, you start off as Lawrence and then you end up as Laurel, cool. It's whatever. But it's the whole, I'm a transition, but I'm a still compete, which is a major issue. I mean, it's basically, it's like, all right, so I'm about to be out here in these streets. I'm a rob some fools, whatnot. I'm a do some crime. And then when I get caught, I'm just going to say, hey, I'm going to cut this beard goatee off. I'm transitioning. I won't get locked up with the females. So that's pretty much what we're dictating now. We're dictating circumstances that are beneficial. You say, oh, yeah, it's transitioning. It's them living their truth, living their best life, whichever one you want to use. It's self-serving. Transition as a non-athlete. Retire. Then transition. But the whole competing after you've competed as a male and then compete as a female, yeah, this got nothing to do with transgender rights. And then what was funny about it, he said, I'm not really winning by crazy margins, and the anecdotal evidence does point to me having little to no advantage. You know, and so, you know, it shows that it's poorly drawn, because they're saying that the mandated testosterone level is still significantly higher than that of women. So we have someone who's got extra testosterone, which, if I'm not mistaken, when they went against those German women, the East German women, is because they had the extra testosterone, because they were taking the steroids. Well, this is a guy, he doesn't have to take testosterone. He's already got it. But he says, I'm transitioning, but it's like you have the advantage because you have more testosterone. So if that's the case, if he can, as a transgender, then the women should be able to take steroids. Even it up. Everybody's got the same amount. You can just say, okay, this is the allowable level of testosterone that could be had. Or you can have a transgender category where transgenders compete against other transgenders, which I know they'll never let that happen, but it's still, there's something wrong here. Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe I just need to commit these crimes and I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to transition. I'm a female now. I'm going to female jail. I'm not cutting my dick off. I'm keeping my balls, but I'm being a female jail. You can rape me now. Might even look forward to some jail time. I'm guessing it'll be a tad bit more enjoyable as a transitioning individual in the female jail than it would be in the male jail. I have a sneaking suspicion that it would be. And I'm guessing that if he had to compete as a male, he'd have been retired a long time ago because he's 41 now. Anyway, enough of that. I ain't even gotten to my Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So, Groundhog Day. You know, the things that you can't do while black, or that racist thing that happens again and again and again and again and again and again, and you wonder why. Well, another thing that you can't do while being black, just in case you didn't know, you can't play dodgeball. Yeah, black 10-year-old was charged after a white kid was injured playing dodgeball. Dodgeball. Meaning you have to dodge the ball. So, Ruth Erickson Elementary, Canton, Michigan, kids were playing dodgeball. Student was struck in the face with a ball. Student's mother asked that we don't use her or her son's name, but she says he has a medical condition that makes head injuries especially dangerous, and said he intentionally threw the ball at the boy's face because, you know, 10-year-olds are maliciously vicious and are so coordinated that they can do things precisely. Yeah, I know about these vicious 10-year-olds that are precise, concise with everything that they do. They're master manipulators. You can't get nothing past a 10-year-old. You know, like, and the fact that this is a woman, I mean, and of course she don't want her name, she don't want to be put out there. Then you're like, don't put my kid's name out there, don't put my name out there. I'm charging a black kid for playing dodgeball. It's like, well, if your kid is susceptible to head injuries, he should not be playing with the other kids. He damn sure shouldn't be playing dodgeball. That should have been in his file. He cannot play games like that. PE should be, you know, off limits to him. Because, hell, he could die. Right? That's responsible parenting. At least I thought. But apparently not. So, what's happening here is, once again, black folks, a young lad being, you know, put through something that he shouldn't, because these folks who just can't get right, just can't get right, can't treat folks at all. You're going to come out with this. You're going to charge a 10-year-old for assault because of dodgeball. Man, I don't even know no more. It's at a ridiculous level. Whew. On that note, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production, and I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.